1 Timothy chapter 2. I ask therefore that first of all, prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the eyes of God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So then, we need to pray for the governments, we need to pray for those who are ruling over us. And the reason he gives is that God wants all men to be saved. So he doesn't ideally want a situation where the government doesn't allow us to preach, like happened here in this country before, in the days of this USSR and all that sort of thing. We need to pray that we'll be able to keep on preaching the gospel to all men. And when we're in a country that allows us to preach freely, we need to use that opportunity. So there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now that's really clear that there's no Trinity. There's one God and a mediator, well, only one of them, between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now Paul is writing this after Jesus has risen from the dead and gone to heaven. Although he had God's nature, he's still called the man because it's so important for us to understand that Jesus had our nature. And that is why he's able to understand us right now. And there's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Not Mary, as the Catholics say. Not priests. Not anybody. We can have this direct contact with God through Jesus. So, Jesus then, he says, gave himself a ransom payment for all that would be testified in its own time. And I was anointed a preacher of these things and an apostle. I tell the truth and I don't lie. Truly, I am a teacher of the Gentiles. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without anger and argument. And in the same way that women should dress themselves modestly and in a sober way, not with braided hair, nor gold, pearls, and costly clothes, but, which is appropriate for women who profess godliness, with good works. So it's not the outward making of yourself look pretty that can change the inside. No matter how you dress yourself up, you are the same person. And what matters is what's inside, and that is what we've got to think about when we meet people. Not, oh wow, she's dressed in such an amazing dress with a pearl necklace, but what's she like as a person? Let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection. I do not allow a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. For Adam was formed first, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. But she shall be saved through the childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness in a sober way. So then, he says just a few verses earlier, as we read, that he was called to be a teacher of the Gentiles. But you know what happened with Paul? He went to all these different places, and as the Acts makes clear, he rocked up in the synagogue and started arguing with the Jews. And it was the same pattern everywhere. The Jews got angry, a few of them believed, but most of them persecuted him, and they chased him out of the town. And, all right, a few Gentiles did hear. But, you see, Peter was the apostle that was sent to the Jews, and Paul was sent to the Gentiles, the people who aren't Jews. And I think that if Paul had focused more on what God intended him to do, his calling and mission, and had not kept on interfering and meddling with the Jews and provoking them, then he might have had a somewhat easier life. It doesn't mean that he failed. It just means that we can make life harder for ourselves by the decisions that we take. And he obviously had this obsession in his mind with converting the Jews, when that was not what God wanted. He chose an illiterate fisherman, a fisherman who probably couldn't read or write, and the Jews mocked Peter when he preached and said, this is a man who's unlearned. He hasn't been to school. It was clear. He was a fisherman. He'd grown up messing around with boats, not going to school. And that was the man that God wanted to use to convert the clever Jews. We might have thought, oh no, Paul would have been a better man for that. He was an educated rabbi. He'd been trained in the best, as it were, university of Judaism in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. But no, he was sent to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. You might say, but all his knowledge of the law was a bit wasted with them. And maybe, but that is God's wisdom. And he uses people often who might appear to us to be absolutely not qualified, because that's his way, that's his style, to work through the weakness of man and not through the cleverness of man.